All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, kind of continuing on one of the most painful topics a lot of people have to deal with in their offices, but it's also probably one of, if not the most important thing we do.
That's right. So if you have not been with us before, every Tuesday in our practices, our huddles are called Toolbox Tuesday, where we go over one of the many resources that we have in our asset arsenal to make sure that our team is all on the same page. And we are currently in an 8-week series talking about our first 400 program for our front office team members, specifically taking you through each week of what the topics and goals are and some of the objections that we have as we are onboarding new team members in this process.
Let's get going. So what were the topics that we went through the first 1 through 3 weeks, just to kind of recap a little bit?
Yeah, so if you haven't watched our prior episodes, go back. They're all here. You can go back through week 1 through 3. But the first week, we're really putting someone in the hot seat from a front office standpoint right off the bat. We want to know if someone is going to be able to ask patients for money, if they're going to be able to schedule patients. And it's not that we're not giving them the tools and resources to do that, but they need to be in there and having interactions with patients right off the bat. So we talk about that financial policy module first week and then get them on our team roadmap, which is our list of everything that needs to be done throughout the course of the day. In all of our offices, it's all color-coded by zone so that they know exactly what the expectations are and what the timeline is for each one of those tasks to take. Now, of course, initially for new team members, it's going to take them a little bit longer, but if we have a task that should be taking 15 minutes and it's taking them an hour each day, that's a red flag for us and for our existing team members to take a step back and, hey, we might need to do a little bit more training here.
Right.
Then week two, we talk about treatment planning. Again, we have team members become involved in treatment planning and presentations right off the bat to get them comfortable talking with patients. Both our front office and our back office team members are cross-trained to present treatment plans, so we want new team members to get in there right off the bat. Again, like we talked about in the past, if you're hiring a new team member, they need to be a productive member of that team from day one. They need to be helping to drive production on your schedule and helping your other team members not just be a decoration in the corner. And then week three, we're talking about communications, proper communication and scripting with patients. Do not assume that patients or team members know how to talk professionally to each other. So we lay that out for everyone as far as what those expectations are right off the bat. Again, don't assume someone knows how to answer the phone. We've had this happen before too, where someone answers the phone, hey, this is not your girl that's calling you after hours. You need to answer the phone properly and professionally. So this week, we're going to talk about insurance billing. And this is one of those kind of topics that everyone shies away from because insurance is so complicated and this, that, and the other thing. Insurance can be complicated, and we simplify it down for team members because the reality, at least for our practices, is we are a PPO office. We do accept PPO insurance plans. And even though it's not our responsibility to know the details of every single patient's individual plans, that's what they expect
They
from
do.
us. And so we need to have a general knowledge of even just being able to explain it to patients. Sometimes people are not trying to be difficult when they're asking these questions. They simply don't understand. And we can take that for granted a lot of the time because we're so used to all these terms and maximums and deductibles and coverage tables. And it just becomes part of our vernacular that's very overwhelming for patients. So if we can simplify it down for them, that really helps from a scheduling standpoint. Everyone wants to know what it's going to cost them for their next visit. Again, we're never going to escape the financial part of the conversation, and you don't want to be in a situation with a new team member where they are unsure of how to answer an insurance question, and that results in a patient not scheduling production.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to remember exactly the point that I barely understand medical insurance, and to some degree, I barely understand dental insurance. And I'm a dentist, but it's very complicated. Every single plan has its own little nuances, and it's hard enough for our front office to understand it when they do it day in and day out, and our remote workers to understand it, which they're doing the lion's share of the billing. And for a patient to kind of come in, especially when they're getting new plans virtually every year with their employer or whatever it is, it's very, very confusing. And we do need to remember that they're not questioning us a lot of times, even though sometimes the tone of the voice is a little bit of that skepticism. But we need to have the wherewithal to kind of stay calm in these situations and understand that they really just don't understand. And so when we explain certain things, we need to make sure that we don't try to embarrass them. Obviously, I know we're not trying to, but our words don't embarrass them in what they're saying. But even saying things like, "Hey, I know this is really complicated. Let me just explain, because this is, your plan has some nuances that I need to kind of make sure that you understand," or whatever it is, to make them feel comfortable that it's okay to not understand it, and that's what we're here for. We're here on your side, and we're on the same team, right? Essentially, because what happens a lot of times is when people don't understand, they interpret us as being the person that's telling them they can't get coverage, or that it's our office that this the part that always really confuses me is when someone has Delta Dental, for example, and they say, "Well, I'm going to go down the street to see if I can get a different price."
Right.
Delta Dental has their fee scheduled by zip codes.
Great.
You're just basically going to go down and see if you can get a treatment plan.
Right.
Like, so someone's going to tell you, "No, you don't need that crown," but the fee's not going to change if you're going somewhere in network, and people don't understand that part. And I think this is a little bit of, dentistry as a whole, some of these industry problems that they're just deep-seated over years of,
Yes.
convoluted and really not transparent practices by both offices and mainly insurance companies. And there is a little bit of a tactic there. Insurance companies do not want you to understand exactly what's going on, because that's their power, right? Is this confusion, this insurance math, right? But we do need to understand that it is very confusing, and people do not understand, and they're not necessarily questioning us. They're just frustrated with not understanding how the plan works in general.
And you also never know where someone is coming from, from a medical standpoint. I had friends who had a premature baby who was in the NICU for 6 weeks, and the claims were over $2 million, right, for that baby that was in the NICU. And we're not doing anything in dentistry that is that dollar amount, but you never know where people are coming from. They may not, understand all of that. And I think it's also really important. We talk a lot about this with our team, that it's also not us against the insurance companies or us against the patients that have insurance. If we're deciding we're accepting insurances in our offices, how do we make it work for us? And how do we make it work the most efficient way possible? Can insurance completely drain all of your front office's time? Absolutely, it can. We have safeguards in place around that. When it comes to credentialing, we have chosen to take that in-house. We've had every credentialing service that is out there under the sun, and there's no one who's going to be as invested in it as you are, and making sure that it's on track. Yes, our remote team handles a lot of our billing, but our on-site team also has their fingers in it, because we don't want there to be this disconnect of, we'll just talk to the billing department. That's not my job. We're all in this together. And even from an insurance company standpoint, we've had multiple situations. We just had one recently where I had a patient who was really going over the top, hunting me down on social media, on my personal emails, emailing me 8 times in an hour. I mean, just some ridiculous over the top for a $32 balance. Okay, like it was getting into a scary harassment zone. Actually called Delta and said, this is not okay. This is not acceptable behavior. They contacted the member because we have an agreement of what should be a standard of protocol for patients and us as their providers. So it's not just all big bad insurance. They want to keep you online as a provider as well, especially in a time where so many providers have dropped their contracts with insurance companies. So just keep that in mind. You can find a way and a happy medium to make it work for you.
Yeah, it's people are very and for good reason in a lot of ways, but people are very frustrated with insurance companies, and I don't need to tell you kind of what's going on in the news right now with the, really unfortunate situation with the CEO of the UnitedHealthcare. But there are the outlash of people supporting someone doing something like that is just disgusting, and that's but it's just a show of how fed up people are with insurance. And it really is. I mean, it's disappointing, but you have to look at it, and it's, we have to understand where people are coming from in this situation. But they also need to realize that that's not us. We are not their insurance company. We are working with the patient on behalf of their insurance, but we are not their insurance company at all.
Now, week four objections, this is where some of the bad habits start to appear with people. We talked a lot about week three is where our existing team members usually hate the new team members. I joke about it, but we just had this situation come up. I say it every time between day 19 and 21. Week four is where we start to see some of the bad habits, and we also start to see the snowball effect if there have been areas that the new team member has not mastered from prior weeks. If all of a sudden, well, hey, I wanted to hit that communication module one more time, and then we were busy. And I'm saying this in air quotes, right? We talk about this all the time too. We're busy. We're always so busy. If we're not busy, we don't need team members.
Right.
Okay? So being busy is not a bad thing. We also have talked extensively about the difference between being busy and being productive. If you're just always being busy with something, that doesn't mean, again, that you're necessarily driving results. So we work on educating our new team members on the difference of that right off the bat. And then making sure that we have those follow-up goals. Okay, if your plan was to get caught up on communications this last week, where in the schedule was it to do that? If we're not scheduling a time and a buy-win, it's not going to happen. All of a sudden, it's going to be Friday and it's going to be the same thing again. And then frustrations just continue to build. So we have intention with these goals and making sure we're staying on top of them and making them public. We know with our first 400 checklist, we share it with our doctor team and with our leadership team. They're called our point people. So everyone's on the same page and it's cross accountability on both sides. Okay. You know, team members said that they're good on these things. These are the goals for next week. And then our leadership team members also sign off on it, that they're verifying those, that team member can do all of those things. So that if 3 weeks from now it comes back, well, they're not answering an email. You signed off 3 weeks ago that you said that they could. So where did this get lost in communication? So that part of it works really well and holding everyone accountable.
Yeah, it really does. And the communication with knowing where people should be, where they are, and having that public knowledge. And not that we're not hiding. And this is not pointing, singling people out or telling people they're doing a bad job. This is for their benefit to kind of get them up to speed, right? And so, you know, it's done in a very professional, constructive way. But when everyone knows, and everyone is aware and working towards getting that person where they need to be.
So next week, we are going to be discussing our AR follow-ups, and the finances, of course, are a crucial part of the front office. So we'll be circling back to that topic next week. In the meantime, if you would like to hear more about our program and our offerings, you can reach out to us. We have our website, pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we are on all of the social media platforms. So please feel free to connect with us, and we'll see you back next week.
All right. See you guys next time.
Bye.